Check Golf presents the Technically Golf Podcast, a golf podcast. Technically, Chubba Watson, officially Sonny Master Bastion, the whole crew's in the house, but we are on the road, working remote, coming back from Live Chicago.
Yep. Great times. A little too tired to hop back in the office here, but
Cam Smith, the boy that took down the individual, point Chubba Watson, team victory. Who won the team victory?
The Aces.
The Aces. Bandwagon points, Sonny. Master Bastion, your picks were, if I remember correctly, the Niblicks for the team and
Chikara from the
Where did you end up in the rankings, both team and individual overall?
Well, so I was really Niblicks, they have some work to do. I think they might have finished dead last. Yeah. Future golf though. And I didn't really see Chikara. That was really more for after the first day. I thought we might line up like picks for each day who was going to win the day. So technically, Chubb, I think you were wrong for the day that you said, he'd pull it out.
Well,
for the individual,
like you just said, you thought that you got that right, but you didn't. So I won the overall victor because we were choosing for the whole tournament, not just the random one day of it.
I will have to check the tapes.
Yeah, we will. So point Chubba, point Sonny, Cam Smith doesn't take the kid long. Two events. He got second in Boston. He gets first here in Chicago. Is he the best in the world?
Did he technically get second in Boston? Was he in the playoff?
He got fourth in Boston. He got first here.
Is he the best player in the world right now? Probably. And considering he was one of the best players in the world before he left the PGA Tour, I think it's safe to say that Dustin Johnson also one of the best players in the world right now.
Amen.
I think Liv's probably got two of the top five players in the world right there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we had another tournament, PGA tournament this week that nobody watched. that ended pretty cool too, actually. A three putt by Danny Willett and a chip in by Max Homa to get the dub.
Mm-hmm.
But PGA Tour is a little different now.
How far was he putting when he three putted?
Under 4 feet.
Ew.
Yeah, so blew it by, missed the comebacker. That's nerves.
Where maybe, you know, the best art playing in a playoff for that tournament. Homa's good. I like Homa.
Homa is good, but he's you know, he's that next level good. Like, he wins when nobody plays, you know?
Right. He's better on Twitter than he is on the golf course.
Yeah, and when everybody's playing, I don't think he's one of the best. I mean, yeah, he's probably top 20. But I wouldn't say Max Homa is one of the best players on the PGA Tour. He might be now, but he wasn't before.
He might be playing. One.
Could be. It's President's Cup week too, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the four playboys out there. They've been shitting on Bryson pretty hard about walking into that rope, which a lot of people are. That was a tough look for him. But like I said in our group chat, I said, you know, when something happens and embarrassment takes over and then that turns into anger, like a little child. That's what happened to Bryson there. He got embarrassed, then he got angry. His eye was fine, but he had already caused kind of a scene. So he had to, you know, he had to really dig deep and play into it. And the way that he grabbed that towel and got mad, it was a funny scene. Like, it was the first time I felt the need to like stick up for a Live player when something happened. But when you take a step back and look at it, like, it's just tough.
Yeah. When he gave the, I can't see out of the eye.
Yeah.
I can't see completely out of that eye. It was whatever he said. It was a pretty tough look. It's like, all right, we've all been there. There's no way you went blind from that rope. I mean, what a story that would have been, but there was just not a chance. It's tough when that is your reaction to kind of blurt out like a pretty infantile statement, like, I'm blind or whatever he said. Pretty rough.
Now, do we have a good angle of where it hits him? Because I immediately thought too, like, he just got caught up in an embarrassing situation, tried to play it up as much as he could. But I could also see if that rope did catch him directly. If it caught in the eyeball,
then it, because you know, like, how much that rope hurts, right, it's just a rope burn.
Yeah.
But if it catches straight eyeball, like, you're fucked. But I think if it did, he would have been actually injured.
Oh, would have taken him more time.
I think he would. I think he would have, like, actually injured his eye. If you get rope, a rope burn on your eye, I think that eye's pretty fucked. But he was definitely just a little pissed off that somebody didn't pull the rope up. It was a tough. It was just tough all around. Like, it wasn't his fault, obviously. It couldn't have been. It had to be somebody else. You know.
Did he? He fell to his knees.
He
did.
Yeah. He did. Oh yeah. He went down. He went down.
That's tough. I mean, I mean, maybe, I feel like even if you got shot in the eye, you could still probably, like, I don't know, one knee it. He was down on all fours.
Yeah, that was tough. I didn't even want to watch too much of the video because I didn't want to have to take his side. I wanted to take his side, so I didn't want to watch too much of it. But the more I watched, the more I was just like, yeah, come on, man. But, and it happens, you know, people love it. It got posted on every single page out there for good reason. It was a good moment. A lot of angles. So many. I can't believe how many people had their phone out when that was happening. I mean, half the people, it looked like they took it on a calculator, but a lot of people had their phones out there. There were a lot of people there, as we saw.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, that was a wild time.
I think they said 12,000 Saturday. Possibly more on Sunday. They also said that their ratings were down a little bit in viewers on YouTube because they were competing with football. So last event in Boston, they weren't competing with the NFL. So the numbers were down, definitely to be expected. I don't think anybody watched the other one, the PGA.
No, but why would they?
Like maybe three or four people. But, you know.
Yeah, that's so now is like time's starting to move along here a little bit. It's real, like, the PGA Tour being so competitive is, like, tough when they have events like that going on, you know? It's like, how are you, who's watching the Fortinet Championship? I mean, there's nobody there. Nobody.
And they'll have nothing for the next couple months, really. I mean, President's Cup is this week, and then, you know, Liv's got three more events just to get, you know, to try to sell to people before the next season starts that maybe you should watch Liv, too. So we'll see how that goes.
And the world golf ranking thing, I know we talked about it a little bit last week. There is actually some, like, we were just kind of talking opinion on it, and it looks like there is some basis on which they have written down in the rules that they can apply their points to. I think there was like six or seven criterion that Liv was not currently meeting, which 72 holes is one of them. Although in the lawsuit or whatever they have going on there, they're saying that like the way that that's worded might not be, you know, they might be able to change that around a little bit. But some of the other ones are like, you have to have the cut, you have to have like a feeder league, you have to have kind of like how the PGA Tour is the Monday event for amateurs to play in, and then top four get into the event or something. Like, it's got to be an open type of event rather than like this invitational, you know, and you have to have a field of like 75 players, whereas Livs are limited to 48. So like Bryson was telling us in the media scrum, I think, what was that, Saturday maybe? Liv might have to tweak a few things, and if they're serious about the world golf rankings,
sounds like they are. So,
yeah,
I think that's great. I mean, I like it. I'm down for things to change. I think even with 72 or 78 players, whatever, you maybe think doing foursomes or something instead of three, which would be fine with a shotgun. You know, it's not that big of a deal. Sure, they can do a cut and try to figure out the team format, or maybe make Sunday just individual or something like that.
You know, it would be really funny for me, dude, if they did, if they just like next year they come out with, they're already expanding to have more events, but then if they were just like, yeah, we're just going to do 72 holes with a cut.
Just turned right back into the PGA Tour. No teams.
My question is, what is, I mean, I know what a cut is as it lies now. Do they have a definition when you were looking up what that entails?
I think all I saw was that it has to be after 36 holes.
I think they should just cut the bottom player from each team after
That's
36.
That's what I was,
Like, if it doesn't have to be score related, that would be a good way to do it.
Yeah. Like just, or like, you know, essentially be like, oh, you want to cut? All right. On day whatever, we fucking cut one person. You know, like here's your fucking cut.
They let one extra person play every week that they let them in. They let four people play on Monday. They let all four in and then they cut them on Saturday afternoon.
I mean, yeah, I think there's ways that you could definitely probably walk around. I'm sure everybody's working, you know, 24 hours a day right now, figuring out how to fall into those categories. But if it's not clearly written out, I feel like you could definitely take some liberties with the definitions of some of these requirements.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, not so much to get in line with the world scoring, but I'm hoping that we can get to a different sort of scoring setup where they're using more of the golfer scores than just two.
For the team stuff at LIV, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So they do use three on Sunday, the way that it works now. They use three scores on Sunday, the way that it works now. It's 2-2-3.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to see what they do. I'm sure they have a lot of smart people who, you know what they're doing. I'm sure the decisions that they make will be great. I think the tweaks that come now will only make it better.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think definitely making, because it just seems right now that the aces are so stacked. I mean, how are you going to, if we're not including, if you're taking the top two for the end of the week, and I guess three at the end, but you're only scoring two of the best. I mean, just the talent pool, I don't think is spread out enough in all the teams.
You know what I think? I think the LIV guys should go to the President's Cup wearing all LIV gear and just like walk around and stuff and just create
as fans.
A scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
all the fans to stop watching, and they just give autographs all weekend, so nobody ever watches the golf. They're all just getting autographs from these guys.
LIV should just buy all the players tickets, like
oh,
to go.
Oh God, and just them. Oh my God, we need to call Greg right now.
Send him on in Damn. There.
That would have been so fucking good. They probably wouldn't even allow him. They'd probably get
I wonder how the gates. No, I was kind of thinking the inverse. How amazing it would be if there was like a PGA. Player that just happened to go to LIV, you know, is based out of Chicago and was like, oh, I like golf. I don't have a problem. The fact they're making, like, I don't understand. Like, does everybody have a problem with it? Do they have to, like, contractually for the PGA fight a fight that's not theirs? Like, well, so, like, I don't, I would be, if I was one of these guys, I'd be like, fuck, half of them know each other, if not more. So, why wouldn't you just go see a little golf, baby?
Jay's so soft, dude. I'm sure if a player did that, he would ban them for life.
Yeah, I think one of these players that might be defecting anyway should do it, highlighting, you know, putting making them have to make a choice like that.
I need to know who's leaving next.
Yeah, I can't wait to see.
I was driving around today thinking, like, who can I call that will tell us who's leaving next? I need to know. Mm-hmm. I don't even need to break it. I just need to know for me. Maybe it'll be after the President's Cup because I'm sure whoever it is playing.
Yeah, and I heard.
If it's an American, because Europeans can't play in the President's Cup, right? Or is it just everybody international? Is John Rahm on the President's Cup team?
I'm not sure.
Any guys from Europe? I don't know. I always get confused with that because I know that the Ryder Cup's just U.S. versus Europe,
right?
And I know that this one is labeled U.S. versus international, so not exactly sure what the criteria is there, but. I would love for it to be one of those Americans. Imagine if it was just Rory. If Rory just comes out and leaves, goes to LIV. That'd be the funniest thing.
I don't think. I don't know. I think he's dug a big enough hole. I don't know if he'll ever get the offer.
Yeah, so there it is international versus United States. The international roster is as follows. Hideki Matsuyama, Sung J.M., Tom Kim, Corey Connors, Mito Pereira, Adam Scott, Taylor Pendrith, Sebastian Munoz, Siwoo Kim, Cam Davis, Christian Bezuidenhout, and K.H. Lee. American roster, Patrick Cantlay, Sam Burns, Justin Thomas, Scott Scheffler, Zonder Schauffele, Tony Finau, Cameron Young, Billy Horschel, Colin Morikawa, Kevin Kisner, Jordan Spieth, Max Homa. I mean, that is not great. That's not a great team matchup right there.
I really want Tony Finau on LIV too.
Yeah. Oh, doesn't he seem like he's like tailor-made for LIV?
Yeah.
He seems like such a LIV guy.
I know.
And what is he waiting for?
You know what's awesome? We always, I don't know if it's because he like records every round or something, but man, that guy is always just shooting like a 58 or a 60 and he was showing some, I saw like some shots that he was hitting, cause he just shot 60 the other day in a round, like in a little round at whatever course, just a random practice round. He missed like three putts. He lipped out like three putts in the first four holes and he shot 60. Jesus. I mean, I don't know how that guy goes so low with that short swing. I mean, he's got a great little short swing, but it goes far. Personality wise, he's just a gem. Just a great get for LIV, I think. But he's not top 10. So if a top 10 is going, it's obviously.
Could be Zonder on that list.
Could be. That's who I'm banking on. That's my call. President's Cup is fun. I mean, it'll be a little. I'll still watch it. Yeah. But you lost a lot of names.
Yeah.
Just thinking about the names that you lost there, like Dustin, to not have Dustin in there. Cam Smith would have been on that. And Mark Leishman.
Yep.
And I'm sure others, for sure. Bryson, Brooks, maybe. Probably, I don't know if Brooks would, but you just lose a lot of those character guys. There's not going to be much fire on that American side.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're like with the personalities that they have, people are running to sort of engage with you know, with what these guys have going. Like, who does press? Like, who's like the fire other than Rory that's hitting the mic right now? I feel like no one. John Rahm had those comments recently, but other than that, I mean, it seems relatively dull out there in the PGA right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know,
getting
less
big
of those big names.
Fortnite Open, dude.
Like, I mean, it just seems kind of crazy that was, you know, all the talk. And the big talk is a playoff where a guy chips in, which is sick, but the other guy misses a 4-foot putt twice.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a tough day for the PGA Tour, is the most competitive place to play in the world, guys, when you have a leader who has fucking 8 chances to make it within 3 feet to win and he misses all of them.
Yeah, that is
for a video game tournament.
It's a guy with a green jacket, too.
Yeah, sure is.
As far as the President's Cup goes, I don't even think it's going to be an American blowout.
Is it normally?
I don't think so. It might be actually in the President's Cup, but I think a lot of people are saying like that the international team doesn't have a chance in this one. I don't see that being the case because other than, I just think that, you have a lot of big names on the U.S. team, but they're not all that superior, if you will. A couple of them are, but I don't know. I mean, Jordan Spieth, Kevin Kisner, I guess even Tony Finau, really.
But like Scotty and Patrick and Sam Burns is like 9th in the world now. Justin Thomas.
I guess some.
I mean, who are they playing against? Corey Connors, Tom Kim, you know? It's like, Hideki Matsuyama's good. Sung Jae-im's pretty good. Mito Pereira can turn it on, but he's not, you know, I don't know. He's not Justin Thomas.
I mean, U.S. has never wanted to win more. That's why I need them to go down. I'm picking the international team this week.
Oh! Heard it here first.
Yeah, I'm picking the international team. Sung Jae-im going undefeated for points this week.
Wow.
And I hope Justin Thomas loses every single match that he plays.
Wow.
Because I hate when he gets fired up. I used to like it, but not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his attitude.
I'm an international guy now. I won't be wearing red, white, or blue all weekend.
Unless it's the Union Jack.
Yeah.
I did hear that they're pretty close. Liv is pretty close to making a TV deal.
So they got like four possible networks trying to work hard, and it's coming.
I think by the sounds of it, they pretty much have a front runner.
Fox.
Yeah. What I was hearing is that they would put highlights out. They would, you know, those commercial breaks where they split screen when you're watching football. Mm-hmm. They're going to do that. They're talking about doing that with, like, you know, big holes and stuff like that with Liv, or like big shots. Wow. So you'd be watching football. They'd be like, "Hey, here's what's going on in Liv." I never thought about it. It's got to be unbelievably tough to compete this time of year with football.
Almost impossible. Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably why the PGA is quiet this time of year too.
Yeah. I could definitely see maybe switching up some sort of scheduling situation where maybe the Miami's a month sooner or something, or shifting everything.
I could see that. Although I do love the fact that they are playing when the PGA Tour isn't really in session right now, but like you said, it's almost impossible to compete with the NFL on Sundays.
And that goes for anything.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah, because maybe you could compete with college, but I even think that would be tough, because I was thinking maybe have your event end Saturday rather than the Sunday setup. Try to sort of change that, but
even that. Even that. Because I think like the same amount of people watch Saturday and Sunday this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it'd be a difference. But again, then you're just competing with college football, which also has quite a bit of following. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tough time of year.
Yeah. Yeah. Not for the Bills, but
there's no shortage of people coming though. Just people coming everywhere, all over the place. Yeah.
And the young guys are going to be coming all over the place here soon, too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and about the veterans, they're coming, too. And in droves, not the same as the young ones, but they're coming.
They are. Just a lot. Just coming from all angles. Just really, and you love to see.
Speaking of coming, the Shark is coming on up to Congress here pretty soon to fight on behalf of the PGA Tour's monopolization on golf.
Right.
So he'll be in Washington.
I was reading today that the PGA Tour, and this was earlier in the year, but they spent like almost $200,000 lobbying pretty much against Liv with the U.S. Mm-hmm. and what they're doing with the U.S. government. So you know that they're padding pockets up there at the White House and wherever those people's the Capitol.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, all it takes is dropping the gas price. Liv will be on every TV. PGA will never work again, you know? PGA. Mm-hmm. These guys got the ability to, you know, open up those pipelines, buddies.
Dude, imagine if Liv Golf, like Liv Tour, drops gas prices $1.
What a headline that would be.
Single-handedly.
Yeah, he like gets the blue-collar worker out there on the roads again. That would be incredible.
Liv Golf Tour drops gas by a dollar.
What a headline. Or you just, like, you get a Liv ticket, you get, you know, it's good for, you know, 20, 59 cent gallons or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, one free fill up with every ticket.
Oh, my God. There we go. There's a promotion.
I'm in. We'll bring it up. We'll bring it up at the next.
I might buy tickets, not even go to the event, for the cost of gas right now.
Yeah, you save a couple bucks. It's like a 50, yeah. You know, get the every time I see a $5 ticket on StubHub, I'm copping it for that $40 gallon, $40 tank, 50, whatever.
Liv, if you're listening, let's do it here.
We're in. We'll promote it.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a couple gas cards.
So golf, I mean, other than President's Cup happening this week, we have Liv's off for a little while, a couple weeks maybe, and then they go overseas for a couple tournaments, I believe. No, are they going right back this weekend? I think they at least have 1 week off, and then I think it's Bangkok, and then Saudi Arabia.
The 7th, October 7th.
Yep, so a couple weeks off here. We won't be traveling overseas, but we will be back in Miami at the end of October for the championship for the LIV Golf Finals. Very excited to see what they do with that.
I'm excited to see that course.
I'm also just excited to play some golf at some point. I haven't played golf in like, I've played maybe two rounds in the last month and a half. It's kind of, I just thinking about it today, it kind of sucks, but I did get some new wedges and I just dropped them off to get shafts and they were like, probably be a couple weeks. Shout out to Fargo Golf. Yeah, it was doing me a favor, so I didn't want to rush them, you know, but I got some cool ferrules put on there, like colorful ones. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. We'll see. Maybe that'll change. But, you know, the guy that usually does them, shout out, Spargo Golf. He is out in Wisconsin playing some golf in the Sand Valley this week. So I can't blame him. And yeah, so we'll get those. Corey Paul Functional Art made me some customs. You can check him out on Instagram. He makes some pretty cool stuff. But looking forward to getting those in my hands. And when I do, my bag will be almost all new, other than my three wood that I've had since 2011. Everything else will be within the last year. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, boy, it's gonna be hot.
Yeah, I love getting new clubs. I've had my wedges for so long, probably got no spin left in them, you know.
Yeah, I gotta be spinning all over. You getting an upgrade, Master?
Oh, I gotta get some wedges. I keep I've lost two clubs to just leaving them. So I've got
on the course.
Say that again.
You left them on the course?
Yeah, a couple times actually. So yeah, it's time to get some wedges. Maybe I don't need a new driver because I just suck at driving. So, but I thought about it just to have something to look at. Also, yeah, I was hoping maybe we can figure it out to get out next Monday. One thing it made me think of, I did have a buddy call me and he wants to go out this week, and this is something I want to bring up. And I think it's a low key, one of the worst people to golf with. It's the person that's like super anxious about the teams or about the other people on the course. So like you're out there, you're not necessarily slow, you know, you hit your shot, you get out to the ball and you're like addressing it or you're looking and they're just like, you hear him say like the words, hurry up or like, come on. And then that leads to like, should we let these guys play through? And I'm not talking about like, we're moving super slow. Like, it's like, no, and there's people in front of you, you know, there's people behind you. And they just seem to think that letting people through is going to make things better. And just like absolutely projecting their anxiety onto you during, it's the worst. So I said, no, I was going to be golfing this week, but I passed up on the round. I was like, dude, last time was too much. I can't do it. Maybe in if it was like we're grouped up with more people, I would be willing to do it, but I just can't. I can't. I think it's my least favorite person to golf with. Not this one in particular, but that type of person.
I got to agree with you completely. That fucking drives me crazy. Whether it's because of like the people behind you, but you're not playing slow, or it's because of they're like outside of the round golf schedule. Oh. Whenever somebody tells, like, you should never be saying to somebody else, in my opinion, hurry up. It's either like, should we let this group play through or nothing at all? Like, if you're telling somebody in your group to hurry up and it's just because you want them to be playing faster, yeah, maybe find another group to play with. Like, if your group is holding somebody else up, then have the conversation like, hey, should we let these guys play through?
Yeah.
But at no point should it be like, I've got to be somewhere. I've got to get home. Or like, this is making me uncomfortable having a group behind us. Like, that's how the game's played. If there's nowhere to let that group go and you can't play faster because of a group or a couple groups in front of you, like, you can't be out there doing that. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. When there's nowhere to go, especially, you just have to take it. You know. And as somebody who does struggle with that anxiety sometimes of feeling like there's, you know, should be doing something or letting somebody through, or when somebody's coming up on you and like, are they talking about how slow you're playing? But when the course is packed up, or even if there's just one group ahead of you, even if there's a onesome behind you and you're right on the group in front of you, like, you're just, you don't let that guy through. That's just like maybe a one, but unless it depends how many groups there are out there. But yeah, if you're just trying to hurry your group up because you think they're playing too slow, then just stay home.
Like, along with the outside of work, the guys who are like, you know, and it's like, dude, calm down, we're out here, you know, we plan to play. And they're just like, well, you don't have an angry wife at home waiting for you or whatever. And it's like, how? Right. I mean, what? Like, why did you play the round? Why did you come out here in the first place? You were clearly anxious before you got out of your car. Like, what?
And your answer to them is right, correct. No, I don't. So this isn't my problem. So either you stay home or you leave the golf course when you have to get home. But I'm not like, I'm not rushing through my free time, my fun experience out on the golf course to like, so that you can not get in trouble. No.
Yeah. Those people need to play at 6:30 a.m. You cannot, if you want to be that guy, you cannot play after 7 a.m. Because you won't have a good time. And everybody will be miserable if you're out there telling people to hurry up in your own group.
And I feel half of the time this sort of this made up scorn that they're going to get isn't even real. I mean, I know half of my friend's significant others probably relish that they're out of the house for a period of time. I don't even like being around them that during that time. They're just my friend. Like, so yeah, it's
and,
like,
and what's it going to be, a half hour?
Yeah, you know, there's no way they're at home like, please come home soon, we miss you. Not a fucking chance.
Yeah,
yeah, no, that is a tough one. I've been down that road before. I don't like playing with those people either.
Yeah, it's just real tough. But hopefully, that being said, you know, I might be so starved that I do end up going out with them, and it will be. I know I'm saying that I might. I know it's going to happen. I'm going to play with them. I was trying to be tough. I'm going to play with them, and it's going to be that. I just wanted to get off my chest now that I know that that's what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Hit the first tee box, and by the second shot, we're, I'm going to be like, they're going to be saying, should we let them play through? It's like, dude, we just teed off on one, buddy.
Hey, we're one hole into this thing, you know? Maybe that's maybe let's see how it shakes out.
You know, not to get back on Liv so quickly, but I did want to talk about a story that I heard. Or ooh, not a story that Liv I heard. So it's a story that I read saying that Greg Norman did an interview for The Australian, I think it was, saying that that he doesn't want to talk about a merger. As you know, a couple months ago they did say that they would be open to talks, and now he's totally closed off because Liv's doing too well.
Yeah,
they're obviously seeing it start to, they're obviously on the back end saying, okay, I think we can make something out of this, which I love to hear, because we obviously don't know what it's looking like on that end of how much money's coming in, if the numbers are good numbers, as opposed to the PGA, which I'm curious. It's really tough to find like TV ratings and how many people watch things. Because ratings and viewers are different, and I can't quite get that math down, but I would be curious to see how many people watched the Fortnite Open this past week, just to kind of look at those numbers and see. But I love, 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 love to hear that Liv is saying, no, we're good now. We're all set. We're going to stick around. Because that's the feel that you get when you're there. It's like, this is a product that you're just, it's going to stick around.
Yeah, well, I mean, between the storyline, you know, that, I mean, and I don't know if we got into it, I can't remember, or if it's just something that was, you know, overplayed, but that, you know, the PGA doesn't do anything in Chicago, and that Liv has been playing events in cities and trying to, you know, go to areas where the PGA is neglected over the years. And then, so sort of in line with that, I mean, there's countless sponsors that I guess that the PGA has also sort of turned their nose up to. So, I mean, I'm sure that sponsorship, they're just, you know, Liv's got to be just sort of figuring out which ones make sense or how they're going to go about it. Probably the team aspect plays into that, if it's going to be sort of ownership franchise situation. But yeah, there's got to be people just beating down their door wanting to sponsor these events. Maybe not some of the big ones that are, you know, too far in bed with the PGA, but maybe not. Maybe, I mean, I can only imagine just seeing the way that this is all played out, that anybody involved with the PGA, whether it's like, you know, sponsorship, a course, a player, probably, I mean, it doesn't seem like their negotiations or the way they do business is very palatable to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Or it's probably more stressful than it's had to been because they've had a monopoly on the game for so long.
Definitely. I'm sure there's a bunch of companies on the sidelines that have been waiting to get that spot, and it just hasn't happened. So going to be fun to watch what happens in 2023.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And beyond.
And beyond.
You know, it's a lot of people with the, you know, the PGA stands, for lack of a better term there, you know, they're all about the legacy, the trophy raising, this and that. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. I had a chance to ask Cam Smith his thoughts on that, you know, is what's the difference for him raising a trophy, being the first time holder of it versus, you know, the 30th. And, you know, for him, it's like, yeah, this could be the biggest event in golf 5-10 years from now. So being the first one carries almost, you know, more importance than being the 30th Fortnite champion in PGA history.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. Like, why not want to be one of the inaugural holders of the belt rather than just another guy, another notch on the old PGA belt, so to speak, you know?
Well, and, you know, I like that use of terminology, because there definitely has to be some sort of head-to-head setup, and a live belt needs to be made. I mean, one of these events should be a literal heavyweight champ belt. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some sort of, there's just, my brain sort of goes crazy with the possibilities of what they could do now that we're not under the sort of constraints of what golf has been.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's so, like, if we can just get this world golf ranking thing settled in Liv's favor and put behind us, like, the way the majors are going to be a feeder for these two leagues to just come head to head in four events a year is going to be so fucking sick. And I don't know why the PGA fans can't realize that. Like, if you're really like true to your convictions and all these things that you're saying, that the PGA Tour is the most competitive place on earth, it's where the best players in the world are, yada, yada, blah, 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 then you should be chomping at the bit to have Liv guys in the majors so you can go out there and prove it.
Yeah, it the problem, like, I don't think anybody believes that.
Say again?
I said the problem with that is I just don't think any of those PGA guys think they do have the best in the world. I was talking, you know, like, I don't think the PGA stands to win anything playing those events, because I just don't believe, there's no way they can believe that they have the best.
Right. Yeah. No, because they don't have the best. That's, you know, that's kind of, I guess, like, that's kind of my point was, like,
oh, yeah,
you know, they can talk all this smack that they want to, but obviously a little scared about the major showdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think they're getting to the point now where I know it's still early yet, but that when, you know, as time goes on, it might go the other way where the Live Tour is not interested in doing those events with them, because they might not stand to gain any.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty wild take there that the players in Live Golf wouldn't want to play in the majors, but I don't, you know, so maybe God kicked it. Looks like Master Bastion exited the chat.
Yeah.
But it sounded like what he was saying was it might get to a place where Live players don't want to play in majors, which, yeah, maybe it does. I don't know that it will.
Well, if the majors are the only chance for Live players to go up against PGA Tour players, then they'll always play in those events.
Yeah,
because they'll always want to see where they stack up or have a chance to beat those guys and say, because now it's like every major is going to be like, who won the last major, Liv or PGA?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I love that for golf.
Yeah. Because there's not only like, it's like you might have, you know, you might have one guy at the top take the crown, but then if the other side is, you know, has more in the top 10 or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it's like who really came out the winner?
And I mean, I think for possibly the rest of our lives, Liv is going to be, as long as it's around, will be the underdog. And I'm always rooting for the underdog, besides the aces. And that's not my fault. I picked the aces before there were any underdogs or records in that league. I was an aces guy, mm-hmm. but I always want the underdog to win. And just like if I'm watching a game and a team is losing, I just always want that team to come back and win. Right. It doesn't matter how many times it flip flops. I'm always rooting for the team that's behind, unless, you know, it's my team.
Yeah. Yeah. I've thought long and hard about doing this, dude. I think I might have some breaking news for next year's.
Oh, wow. So you're going to wait till 2023.
Well, I think I've thought this through. And I think what I think
we should honestly think we should wait till we have the office and get all of the team hats and then do picking ceremony for your teams. No, I'm just kidding. Tell them.
Okay.
Tell
I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm fine.
No,
with
tell the
that.
People. We're already there. You've already started. You've been thinking about it for weeks, I'm sure.
Well,
ever since you got that shitty dap up from Cam. Ignored you all week. Just, you did get a question.
There's just been a couple moments with the king of golf, the captain of America, Patrick Reed, that has just been making me think some things over, you know? And, you know, we walked the, like in Boston, we got the dap up from him, clean dap up. There was no, yeah, maybe he did that, but he hates us too, like kind of with the cam one, in your words, not mine.
Yeah.
But then, well, you know, the pro-am, we walked 16 holes with him. Final day on Sunday, the king just gets hot. We catch up with him. I think he was one birdie into like his five in a row run.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a ball just right next to the ropes. Little chip for bird. Little bird chip look for the kid. And you know, he obviously puts it in because he's the king. And I give a not even like trying to get, not even, I'm pretty sure I was turned to you.
Yeah, you were.
I put a fist pump out there and I just say, God damn, does that get me fired up? And the king just turns around and whispers right into my little ear, yeah, me too. And mm-hmm. at that moment, it was like, how can I be rooting against the king openly on the pod?
Yeah.
And I want to give Cam the benefit of the doubt that a lot of times he doesn't hear me or, you know, something, he's just in the zone. Maybe he's a little in the zone guy when he's out on the course. But I think I made my declaration that I was a punch guy this year on tour. I'll ride that out for the rest of the year. But I think for next year, wherever the king goes, I go as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if the king remains an ace, I'm gonna have to jump on board the train. If mm-hmm. he goes to another team, boom, I'm there. I'm just wherever the king's at, that's where I'm going. And there I think also, it's only right. I think it's only right.
Yeah.
I'm the only person in golf who has been on the king's side since day one. Everybody sure. else under the sun has said something mean or nasty about the king. I'm the only one that hasn't. I've been a true supporter of his. I judge him based on his golf. I don't judge him based on what's out there in the news and this and that. The guy's an absolute stick. He's the captain of America. He's the king of golf, and I'll ride with him until the death. So I will be, hopefully he goes to the punch. That would work out really good for me and my brand. I wouldn't have to jump teams, but if he doesn't, wherever the king ends up, that's where I'm going to.
I like that. So there was also a moment when, during that same shot, the chip in where they were walking up to the green and they kind of just like directed a question toward the crowd. Like, did that land short? And then like a bunch of people were like saying stuff. And then Kessler turned to me. He was like, Sonny, did that land short or that? And I was like, yeah, it took one bounce in the rough and then popped over to the left. And I was like, all those people saying something. And then he was like, I'm going to get the real answer here from mm-hmm. Sonny. And I was like, mm-hmm. damn, that feels good.
Yeah.
Damn, that feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love them. I love the aces because obviously I love Pat Perez too. Would really love to see him start shooting some lower numbers, but they did use his score, I believe, on Sunday there for the win. Yep. So that's a contribution. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if they do break up the aces, that's going to be tough because I really am like a full out all the players on the aces. I love them guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like even Taylor Gooch before I even put together that he was on the aces, he won me over with one of his interviews. And I was like, damn, I like this guy when he was talking about the music and stuff. So
yeah.
It's just, but at the same time, like the Live Tour just did a great job of getting guys over there that are just good guys. Mm-hmm. So I might just start wearing Live gear and maybe like a Patrick Reed jersey.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
You know? Bro, I mean, we've talked about that before with like the fans wearing Live gear and never seeing anyone wear PGA gear.
Mm-hmm.
On 18 on Sunday, there was a straight up Live chant by the fans.
There was.
That is something you've never heard, the Fortnite Open chant or the PGA chant ever.
No.
In golf. Those motherfuckers were out there, Live, Live, Live.
It was
live,
so good.
Live. It is an absolute vibe out there. And like, I get sold more and more every time we're at these events, because especially this year, like for the most part, you know, Boston fans aren't flying out to Chicago after that event. So mm-hmm. you're getting a lot of people who are experiencing it for the first time. and they're won over every single person, whether it's like an old head who's been, who is skeptical coming into it, whether it's somebody new who's never been to a golf event, they all absolutely love it. And it's mm-hmm. for good reason, because being there is very enjoyable.
It is. Yeah, it's a vibe. There was a lot of, there were a couple areas that were really packed up in a good way, not in a bad way, in a good way. And the 18th hole was a little, it was tough, a tough viewing experience on the 18th hole for this one, because right where the row where it kind of dropped off downhill after that. So you can only really get like a couple of rows of people that could see, but that didn't stop people from packing in there. Yeah. It was quite a scene to see when we were standing up on the 18th fairway, when that last group was coming down, to see the swarms of people going toward the 18th green. And that's when we heard the live chant and just, I mean, DJ hit the pin on 18 for an eagle, or like his chip hit the pin, and then the crowd went crazy for that. Cam made a nice putt for birdie. The crowd absolutely went nuts. Like, the crowd is fun. The crowd's very fun.
They're the best.
I can't wait to go to another one. I'm actually a little intimidated that Miami might be so crowded, you know? So hopefully they're maybe like, they had this rope on the range where in between, there was a rope for everybody else in the back row, but then there was a rope like maybe 6 feet in front of them. And that's where the media got to go, in between those two ropes. It was the coolest feeling in my life, walking into that rope in front of all the people watching behind you. Dude, it was, I would like needed. I was pissed that I found out on like Saturday night that that was there. Because if I knew on Friday, I would have gotten there at like 10 o'clock every day, stood behind that rope the whole time and just watched players hit balls, just to feel that like, oh, I'm getting a little something extra out of my media pass here. I got to take it. It's one of those spots you just, and you know, and then everybody's like, who's that? It's like, we're nobody, but we're here, you know.
Who is that guy? Yeah, it's gonna it's shaping up to be a good one. I really like the, you know, kind of traditional sports schedule that LIV takes, where it's, you know, regular season kind of event style leading up to the end of the year, the culmination.
Yeah, that whole championships 1 week
at the end,
the 1 week playoff, the 1 week championship. Love that. Because the FedEx Cup doesn't really feel that, have that feel.
No.
Players starting at different scores. It's over the course of however many weeks. Like, but with this LIV thing, I'm excited for Miami. And I believe it's Tuesday to Sunday there.
Is that right?
If I'm not mistaken. I think it's a little bit longer. So I'm not sure how they're going to set it up. I'm going to have to get some more info on that.
Yeah. And, you know, the PGA Tour too, like, there's just, the events don't go in any particular order. And, you know, they're not worth the same amount either. You know, like the Fortnite championship is not worth the same amount as the Players, for instance.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's, I don't know. I just like that style a little bit better. I know it's not as cutthroat. I know people can't lose as much money trying to be part of it, but I like how it just kind of, each event's worth the same amount of points. You know, there's not any one regular season event worth more than the other, and then it ends with the championship. It does look like the Pro-Am for Miami is Wednesday the 26th.
Yeah, okay. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday maybe for that.
What was the Pro-Am this week?
Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah, Pro-Am is usually Thursday. I hope the I wonder if they're going to open up that Pro-Am or if it will be media only. Because that might be a big Pro-Am.
But yeah. We'll see. Let me ask you this question for next year. Would you like to see them continue having the same teams throughout the year, or because I thought they said there would be a draft at every event and the captains would remain the same, but the players on each team would be different.
That's how it started off too. I think they should do a draft at the beginning of every year
and have the same players on each team.
Have the same, keep the captains the same for as long as the league is going, and then let them do one draft at the beginning of every year.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe a keeper, maybe like a keeper league. Oh, where you get to keep one and then pick your bottom two or something. Because I really do like the fact that you're getting I would like to see a lot of the same players on the same teams, because it's tough to pick a team when your team is having different guys every year, because you do pick based off guys. So if I'm a, you know, a Four Aces fan now, and then next year the Four Aces is four guys that I don't want to root for, it's going to be tough to be a Four Aces fan, buy a Four Aces jersey, you know, all that stuff. So I don't really know what the best way to do it is, just because I know that it has to go differently next year because the Aces are too strong.
Yeah.
So it's like, if the Aces weren't too strong, I don't even think they would change anything. I don't think they'd have to. But with the fact that the Aces are so good, I think they have to.
Well, and I think too, with the one of the criteria for World Golf Rankings is that it does have, you know, like that ability for other players to play into it, where it's not like a closed invitational list. So, and I think Liv had said that they have had different players in each event. But you know, that's just like one player on each team. So I don't know. I would be down to, if like we've got to meet in the middle with that. I think I do like the idea of having teams remain the same throughout the whole year as well, but I wouldn't mind like a captain, assistant captain, and then maybe some rotating members, or like you draft, maybe you draft six, right? And four play. Mm-hmm. And so you can have a couple bench guys 1 week, or, you know, kind of pull some people up if they're playing better.
Yeah, you could even do it so those extra two guys, if you did do that, might be able to get you up to that 78 number, and then you play for a cut, or, you know, you can cut those guys after the 2 days, the guys that aren't in the team event.
Yeah. Or like, even if they, I think too, something we've heard whispers of is like having a minor league tour, you know, your Corn Ferry or whatever that would kind of look like under Liv, and, you know, have relegation on the team as well, where, okay, the four guys playing in Chicago, the other two, you know, they could win a little bit of money down on that feeder, that minor league tour, competing still under the Punch GC or whatever banner, but just competing in the minor league tour.
And the way that Liv does everything else, I mean, it'd be the best paying minor league tour in the world.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to go? I mean, even if they do a guaranteed $100,000 a year, they're still going to make more than 90% of the players on the Corn Ferry tour if you're making that. Mm-hmm. So no brainer to go there and play in the minor league Liv, the minor lives.
The minor Liv tour, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just brilliant.
I love it. I mean, I need to get it. I was talking to Kessler about this too. I really want to get a caddy bib. I'd love to rock the caddy bib to the tournaments. Nothing underneath, just the bib. Just the mesh bib. The sport in my team. So we are going to have some content coming out here from Liv. We did do some fan interviews, which we'll do more and more of as we go on, as we get the hang of it, because now we figured out sound quality, which is massive. And you probably can't tell from here because I'm using a microphone I haven't used since like episode 3, 2 years ago. Right. And
We're back to the remote setup today, but we'll be back next week.
We'll be back in the office next week, and we got some more video ideas, a lot of video content coming now that we have an office and we can edit stuff together, which is big for us too, because being in two separate places is just tough.
Tough little to sneak preview for the man on the street. The man who cosplayed as Matt Wolf.
It's going to be so good.
Absolutely stole the show. Mm. I mean, that guy was on fire, and he legitimately looked exactly like Matt Wolf, and didn't do it on purpose. He just showed up like that. And
the funny thing was, after we did that interview with him, he went and sat in the chair to get a mullet for charity, and he took off his hat and glasses, and I thought he seemed like a character. So I went, "Do you want to do an interview?" And he said, and then after we did it, I realized that we had already interviewed him once.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was the same kid.
Yeah.
But he's got quite a personality on him, and you'll be seeing the Matt Wolf within the next couple of days for sure. I'm convinced Seabass's phone died. Maybe that's what happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he's got a little bit of a little bit of Danny in him when it comes to that, the whole technical side of things. So
He does. And we really have to get Danny in one day to record one. Yeah. We're up in Nashua. Our office is Boston. It's right in Boston, but
we're based in Boston.
Danny lives close by, so we'll get him in the office on a Monday and we'll run a pod back like the old days. It's probably been a good year since we've had Danny on. Maybe a year and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, good he's times. Never this would be his technically golf golf podcast technically debut.
It would be.
He was he was under the Group Chat Golf podcast banner.
Mm-hmm. So. The old days.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And hopefully we can get Master Bastion's technical difficulties cleaned up and keep this thing moving.
Yeah, we probably still have a few minutes, so I'm just going to come out and say it. Topgolf is pretty terrible.
Oh, look at you go.
Yeah.
Sound off, King. What's up?
It's cool and everything because it's lit up and it's a big range and you can eat and drink and stuff, but the games just don't make any sense. It's just the fact that that second game we played where it's like aim at this pin and hit it this distance. Why even have like seven pins out there? That game should just be played to one pin at a time instead of saying aim at the flag that's 135 yards away and hit it 175.
Right.
Because my eyes are telling me just get it in that circle. So when I think I did end up squeezing out the victory in the end with a couple of big shots down the stretch and maybe a couple of fuck ups from Chuba. But
yeah, well, that was because the scoring system was clearly scoring system. I think they had terrible. Some glitches in there. Something wasn't right.
Yeah, I agree. It was they need to figure it out over there at Top Golf. The idea is great, but just tighten it up a little bit as far as the games go, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. Like, I don't know if it was just that Top Golf needed a tweaking or so, you know. It seemed like because the first game we played where it was just like the standard game there where, you know, if you're closer to the flag, the more points it is, the, you know, and then as you get outside of the circle or whatever, it's less points. Some of that shit was not making any sense at all. Like, I would hit a ball in the exact same spot as somebody else and I would get 3 points and they would get 14, and theirs would like take a hop on the turf and go in there. So it seemed to me like it was maybe a little broken. I feel like I've had better times at Top Golf when it comes to the scoring in the games than that one. But if it wasn't broken, yeah, they need an overhaul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel I had the same issue down in Charlotte when we played there. I just didn't really understand it. Even after the 2 hours we spent there, I was like, I still don't get it. I still don't get the games and I can't hit the clubs good. Tough to hit. You got to really slow it down with those things because there's the shafts, you know.
Yeah, I would prefer to bring my own clubs every time.
Yeah, like I hit the driver 180 yards and I like hit it decent, you know.
But yeah, and like maybe I don't know, maybe it's like the state of mind and the hour of day we went in where it's like it did not feel like I remember looking to try to find some clarity on how these games are played and it wasn't readily available to me. Mm-hmm. So it'd be nice to have like, you know, just a clear list of what the goddamn rules are and what the objective of the game is, because I should have won all of those the way I was striking that ball.
I don't know. I was hitting it pretty good, but would have been close.
Yeah.
Now that I won't go back because I love the Top Golf experience.
Yeah.
We were also there like almost midnight. It was like one of the only things open. So,
right. Yeah. It does kind of seem like it is, you know, I think it's a little bit more geared toward the beginner or even non-golfer than it is like
absolutely, which they golfer. Do a great job of because it was pretty packed in there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Which is, you know, which is cool. Like it I think it's a good way to introduce people to golf and stuff like that. But there also should be like an expert level bay with like you know, nice fucking clubs and games that make sense to an actual player.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Yep.
How we doing here?
It's, you know, impossible to say.
Oh yeah. I think we're pretty close though.
Yeah, same.
You got anything else for the people? Yeah, phone died for Seabass, so.
Yeah, typical. No, I think that's it for this week. Nothing major coming up. The PGA Tour events are a joke. Lives off fall. Get that quarter zip on. Go swing. I like that.
Oh, yeah. always derby.